This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with Charmila Ganesan and Lim Soo Ann. So earlier we heard from Professor James Chin, who is the director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania, who was sharing his thoughts on the impact of the current political situation, specifically on Sabah and Sarawak's political parties. But we're going to go on to another story now about trees, more likely, something a bit more steadfast. But we are asking you some questions on social media.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, this current government situation is on everyone's mind, but we're asking you on Twitter, as the government sorts itself out, are you concerned that other important issues are being overlooked? So, you know, a fair number of you think, yes, this is true. 74% of you say, yes, it is being, there are other issues that are being overlooked, while about 25% of you, 25.7% of you say, no, this current situation is more pressing. So that's very interesting, and we'd love to hear why you think so. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also take the poll there. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 03-773-2900.
Yeah, so the reason we're asking you is, you know, there's a lot of issues happening around, involving the environment and such. And last weekend, journalist and documentary filmmaker Jules Rahman Ong, he brought attention to a private tree plantation, which is called Penawa Hutan over in Tanjung Malim, which was being bulldozed and destroyed. So some background, you know, the man behind Penawa Hutan is 84-year-old James Kingham. He's a retired planter whose reforestation project saw him plant a whole forest in an area of 200 acres. So that's about 80.9 hectares with 2 million, or it's estimated 2 million rainforest trees, many of which are rare, endemic and endangered. And this collection also includes about 1,200 species of rare forest trees.
Sadly, though, James' annual lease on land was not renewed and the state land was sold to new owners who started the tree demolition process and were bulldozing everything in the area's path. So according to Jules' post, the bulldozing was being carried out by Perak Corporation Berhad. That's a state government-linked company under the Perbadanan Kemajuan Negeri Perak, PCB or PKNP. And Jules himself was in Tanjung Malim over the weekend and witnessed the destruction firsthand. So according to Jules, James Kingham had collected all the plants often in difficult circumstances with the help of Orang Asli and park rangers over the last 20 years and grew them in poly bags, which was then supplied to places including Rimba Ilmu in University Malaya, Taman Tugu here in KL, and even United Plantations. So Jules also wrote that most of James' collection ended up in Singapore, which according to him really treasures them.
And in a report in Malaysia Kini, Jules called James's effort a real labour of love and said that there were 2 million trees and 800 endemic and exotic forestry species at the Tanjung Malim Nursery, even more than those in the Forest Research Institute of Malaysia, or FRIM, or the Forestry Department of Peninsula Malaysia Collection. He mentioned that these agencies would go to this nursery to get the seeds and saplings. And in 2008, James helped transform a 7.5 hectares barren piece of land into a gene bank for endangered jungle plants called the Lagoon Tree Kingham Cooper Reserve, with oil palm planter Jeffrey Cooper. So the area now resembles a natural thick jungle with over 250 diverse species of trees, but this is small compared to the one in Tanjung Malim.
Yes, and environmental journalism portal Makaranga, their reporter and editor Lau Yau Hua made a trip to Penawa just on Monday to kind of find out what's happening. So I caught up with him earlier today, with Yau Hua earlier today for some updates, and I started off by asking him if the bulldozing was still happening.
So as of this morning, I checked with Sheila Ramasamy, a longtime employee of the plantation. The bulldozing has stopped since Monday afternoon, but the bulldozers are still there on site.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. And okay, so I just want to be very clear about something, right? This is a privately owned area and the fight is actually not to keep the land, but they're just looking for time to relocate the trees. I mean, you mentioned Sheila, you know, there's quite a few people working on this.
Yeah. Well, it's a privately owned plantation. They don't own the land. They don't own the area. Mm-hmm. They own the operations there. Actually, who owns the land now? It is quite a question. I do not know. Mm-hmm. And the state has not been able to confirm that with me. So on the plantation site, so Penawa Hutan, they currently they have two or three workers, including Sheila, on site, trying to locate the trees away, before the bulldozers. So they have been working on that, working against time and against the bulldozing for the past 3 weeks since early February.
Mm-hmm.
But now, and since November, there has been at least one other organization that also works in forestry conservation and planting in Malaysia. At least one other organization has also been relocating the trees from Penawa Hutan to other site or sites. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And you went there. I think it was on Monday afternoon, if I'm correct.
It was quite rushed. Let's say Monday morning to afternoon.
Monday.
Yeah.
Okay. And how much has been bulldozed already? What's the situation there?
Right. So the plantation itself is about 200 acres, and about half, Sheila said, about half has been bulldozed, so completely barren.
Mm-hmm.
And when I reached there, it was about lunchtime and the bulldozer operators were at lunch. So it was actually quite serene. and then after lunch, the bulldozing started and we could hear the machines when Sheila brought us around. So we could easily see the huge tracts of land where it was just barren.
That's really upsetting to hear. And did you manage to meet James at all and see how he's feeling about all of this?
No, I didn't see James. He wasn't on the plantation. I thought of visiting him. I think he lives nearby. Sheila said that James James is about 84 or 85 this year. And he's apparently heartbroken, very upset about this. And so he has not been coming into the plantation as much. And I think he also has some difficulty with mobility. And so, he doesn't really come in that much anymore. So I didn't get to speak to him.
Okay. Right. It must be really upsetting when we've heard, that this is like a labor of love of his. And it must be really upsetting for him. But what else did you see when you were there? I know that there were other representatives from other organizations there as well when you were there on Monday.
Yeah. So it was such a, nice coincidence that when I arrived, there were already three other parties there. So I think everyone really got word of this from Jules Ong post on social media. And they went viral. And then I think there's also now an online petition,
there is,
right?
A petition,
so, okay,
yes.
Things got heated and then people got into action, I think. So there were two reporters, at least two reporters from Bernama. There were two representatives from Academy Science Malaysia. And then there was a spokesperson from the Chief Minister Office of Perak, so the Perak Menteri Besar's office. So we were all there, arriving at different times. I was the last one to arrive, actually. And they were all there for different reasons. Academy of Science, they were concerned and disturbed, they said. And so they wanted to go there to check what's happening. And they might, and they plan to release a statement sometime. Bernama was there to report. I'm not sure if they have reported yet. And the Perak Menteri Besar's office was there to again see what's happening.
Right.
You might find it strange. I was very surprised to know that the Menteri Besar office apparently did not know about this bulldozing or perhaps even what's on this piece of land until last weekend, which might mean that, it's the viral post that got people into action.
Okay, yeah. All right. So the land is not owned by the Perak Menteri Besar's office as such. Do we know that?
No, I think if anybody, I think it was owned by the Perak Corporation Berhad before this, and they have been leasing it to Penawa Hutan or the companies which Tunas Harapan on a yearly temporary operating license.
That's right.
Right. And this operating license expired October 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And who owns the land now? Actually, nobody could tell me. I didn't approach Perak Corporation Berhad, but the spokesperson from the Menteri Besar office told me that they don't know either.
Okay.
They didn't know either. And they were awaiting reports from Perak Corporation.
Okay.
So that was off Monday.
That was on Monday. So do we know what the status is now? So the bulldozing has stopped, that much we know.
Yep.
And now we know that the Menteri Besar's office is actually working to try and come to a solution for this situation. Am I correct?
Yeah, yeah. So that was what that was what the spokesperson told me on Monday, mm-hmm. that they would look into solutions such as relocating the trees, because they also, I guess, they realized and they what's on the land and they value it. But on the spot, the spokesperson told Sheila that they cannot, that he could not promise anything, because of course the orders have to come from the Menteri Besar. Mm-hmm. And as of now, they have not released any statement yet. They will, he said. So I guess we just have to wait for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And can you just talk to me about the sorts of, the kind of trees that are found there? You know, I mean, some of them have medicinal purposes. You know, I mean, there's so many different types of trees. There's so many different uses. Why is it so important that we need to make sure those trees are not just bulldozed down?
Yeah. Well, they are. Let's see. So Sheila couldn't give me an exact number of how many trees there are. But, you know, she said, there are at least several hundred thousands, above a million, I think. Because, the trees there, there are close to 1,200 species of forest trees there. So these are trees found within Malaysia.
Mm.
And many of them are timber trees, fruit trees. And of course, some of the trees will have medicinal potential values there. Many of the trees are critically endangered or vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't get the full list of the tree species and their conservation status in the wild. But what I've got was about, you know, at least about 260 species, and of these 260 species of trees there, as of, you know, the list was updated September 2010. Okay, so that was like 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
The list from Penawar Hutan was updated then. And say also of these 260 species of trees, 58 or say 60 were listed as critically endangered, you know. Now, critically endangered on the IUCN red list means that it is one step away from extinct in the wild, and two steps away from completely extinct.
Wow.
Now, we must know that these statuses are subjected to reassessment. So, without a doubt, the statuses must have changed. And I've checked, some of these have changed. So, I just look up, you know, six critically endangered species on random, and three of those have been changed to less threatened statuses, which is actually good news.
That is,
but it doesn't negate the fact that still there are, you know, tens, if not hundreds, of species of those trees on the plantation that are endangered, critically endangered, or vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And so these trees, the species, we really ought to strive hard to protect and to conserve these trees, because, well, James Kingham worked over, you know, like 25 years to collect these trees and the seeds from the wild. We can question now, can the same effort be done, repeated now? You know, go into this forest in the wild, well, you know, most likely the forests are, you know, degraded or no longer there. And who would be doing this now? I know of very few botanists who would do it. Either for, you know, I mean, this is a private plantation, so of course there is some profit making to be made, but even if we put that aside, like, who would do it? So just based on that, I think we really need to the government, like Forestry Department or perhaps Academy of Science Malaysia, you know, Ofrim, I don't know, we should really move quick, go in and identify which are the really, really critically endangered tree species, and then, you know, relocate them. Because,
mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it, you know, how much more is left?
Yeah.
You know, who's doing it? Who has been doing it very well? Yeah, our neighbor from to the south, Singapore. So, as I said, this is a private plantation. And over the years since they started, Sheila told me that Singapore, the Botanic Gardens, or I think their National Parks Board, I think that's what it's called, has been buying trees from Penawar Hutan. How many have they bought? Well, Sheila told me about 80% of the species found on Penawar Hutan, you can find it now in Singapore. So they bought it, particularly any species with, you know, like Singaporeans, you know, they bought it.
So value is obviously placed on these trees. Just sadly, it doesn't seem to be happening here.
Yeah.
Okay. There's not much time left, right? I mean, I think that's what you mentioned. Sheila said that she needs a lot of time to do this. Currently, is there only two workers doing it or something crazy like that?
Yeah, well, they used to have, I think at the peak, tens, maybe up to 50 was the number I've heard, that, you know, about 50 workers that they had there. But then over the year, once they knew that, you know, the end was nigh, they started retrenching and letting go of their workers. And so now Penawa Hutan has about 2 to 3 workers on site themselves.
Okay.
Then there are other organizations, you know, there helping them to relocate the trees there. And yes, it takes time because, yeah, so we must know that so it's a private plantation, and these trees are planted in poly bags.
Mm.
Like, so they're all in like plastic bags. Yeah,
yeah.
The roots are in plastic bags of different sizes, you know. So they pointed some to me that were like 18 years old, and so of course the bag is huge and might have even burst, and then the roots have all come out. But almost all the plants that belong to Penawa Hutan are in poly bags.
Mm-hmm.
So to relocate these plants, one of Suhaili Ellie, who learned her trade there and is now helping Penawa Hutan to relocate the plants to this other organization called Tropical Rainforest Conservation Research Center.
Mm-hmm.
She told me, so Suhaili told me that they would need at least 3 weeks to relocate one plant. So because they need to, you know, cut off the roots, cut off the side, and then let it grow a feeder root and let it stabilize. And then they have to do pruning, remove the leaves so that to reduce the water pressure, water stress. And then only they can move the trees. And some of these trees are huge,
yeah.
You know, tens of feet long. So it's not easy.
It's not easy. And
yeah.
And it would take two years and a lot
of
work.
Yeah, I asked Sheila, like, yeah, give me a number. How much time you need? And then she sort of like started a bit and she didn't know what to say. She was like, yeah, if I say a year, they will give me 6 months. If I said 2 years, they will give me, you know, half of that. But she said, ideally, if she could have 2 years and a lot more workers, maybe 20, 30 more workers, then she could relocate half of the remaining trees.
Okay.
But she would, if she's going to do that, and they are doing that now, they would prioritize the critically endangered species first.
Of course. So she is, I suppose, slightly optimistic. What we really, really need is the Perak government to step in.
Yeah. She wants the bulldozing to stop, to give them time, so they're not fighting for the land at all. It doesn't belong to them.
Mm.
So they want to move. But she needs more than that. She needs a space to move the trees to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is 200 acres that we're talking of, right? So she needs a space to move the trees to. And that itself is quite a lot of work because you've got to check out the land, make sure there's enough water, you know, that kind of stuff, the landscaping. You need the space, you need the workforce. You also need the expertise because, you know, they have let go most of their staff, right?
Yeah.
And then you need money, of course. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, you know, if we want to follow updates, I mean, at the moment, this is where we're at, right? So if we want to follow updates, I think Makaranga, you guys are going to keep covering this?
Yeah. Well, we are going to write a longer report on this once we heard from other sources, and we will check in regularly. So for updates, I guess you can go to our Facebook or our Twitter, Makaranga. Makaranga Tweets will be our Twitter, and then Makaranga Facebook is our Facebook, or you can just go to makaranga.org.
So that was Lau Yao Hua, the editor and reporter of makaranga.org, which is, of course, an environmental journalism portal. So do follow some of those channels that Yao Hua mentioned if you'd like to keep updated. And, you know, as our natural forests are being cleared and depleted for development, really, you know, this precious living gene bank containing an immense biodiversity must be protected. So if you'd like to voice your concern about the situation, there is an online petition that you can sign. Just head to change.org and search for Protect the Largest Living Gene Bank of Rainforest Trees. It's a bit of a unwieldy one, but, you know, some keywords. Largest gene bank. Rainforest, yes.
So there are plenty of really important things happening, right? And meanwhile, we are also kind of dealing with this whole situation with the government and figuring out what is happening.
Mm.
So we were asking you on Twitter, as the government sorts itself out, are you concerned that other important issues are being overlooked? 75% of you have voted yes. There are other important issues that are being overlooked, while just under 25% of you say no, this current situation is more pressing. We have, let's see, a couple of responses. Shawal tweeted in to say, I'm assuming they mean that there are other more important issues. So they list a few. They're saying institutional reform to deter mega projects without thorough due diligence and check and balance on previous administration and current, as well as cost of living. And then they point out public transportation and also the Greater Kuala Lumpur Public Transportation Plan. So yeah, many ongoing things that we don't really know what the status of status is at the moment. And then we have another tweet from Walski that says, begin resetting Malaysia. Yes, too many issues, so little time. We have a WhatsApp from Jerry that says, yes, there are more important issues, too many crooks.
Definitely.
And Maggie says, whenever something major happens, some of us leave our usual chores or responsibilities, citing that the disaster is a reason or an excuse for not acting normally. Yet if we pride ourselves in being able to multitask, whatever disaster or out of ordinary event is occurring, we should carry on as usual. Life goes on. And she also says, for shame, human beings have done so much injustice, knowingly or unknowingly, in the name of progress. I think that's in reference to our story about the gene bank.
Yeah, so I mean, there's so many issues that, you know, we cover here on BFM, you know. There's the Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve, which is being, you know, potentially degazetted. There's also the KL draft plan, which is out, which you really need to, you know, give your
yes,
feedback to.
Which closes like this week,
18th March.
We've got a few more weeks
but it's
left.
Like moving around in different venues
yeah, and things like that. So there's all these little things that, well, not little things, they're big things that are happening, but, you know, unfortunately everything is overshadowed by what's happening now. But I guess what I'm trying to say, or what our message is that do keep track of these little things as well, and make sure that, you know, these things don't fall through the cracks before it's too late. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's show, but, you know, if you'd like to drop us a message, you can always look us up on Facebook. Just search for BFM The Bigger Picture. You can always also continue to share your thoughts. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. And if you miss any part of today's show, you can always download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can look for us on the BFM app, and we can also be found on Spotify. For now we leave you with CCR. This is Green River. You've been listening to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.